It. We're back on the Captain's Log. Dan Cummins, thanks, buddy.
Hello,
thanks,
man.
For joining me.
Thank you.
You didn't have a choice. I mean, that's what I tell everybody. you're really not just like, you know, sitting outside waiting for me to pick you up. You're here ready doing press in Fort Myers.
Yeah, man.
For the Happy Murder Tour. How'd you come up with the name?
I wish I did. It was my Joe Eschenbaum, my agent at...
I know Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
He thought of it, so I'm bad
about...
He
came up with the Happy Murder Tour.
Just from watching my stand-up over the years,
yeah.
He's like, he came up with this concept of doing like a picture of me in a little bit of like a bloody suit.
Yeah.
Just because I've done... I didn't even really realize it. It's like, I forget what bits I've done on previous albums to the point that I'll be writing something. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, you idiot. You did the same thing 3 albums ago. Because the same thoughts are rolling around my head. And it's a lot of hatred of rude strangers.
Right?
So, yeah.
And so I shared that on
did
your
you
page.
Get it?
So that's good. We nailed it, buddy.
Brian's a tech whiz.
We nailed it.
Social media wizard.
I have to stop for
live.
A second. Yeah, it's live. It is.
It out.
And we'll see how that goes. Because... It looks a little fuzzy. I don't know, but maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's something in the air. Maybe your murder wasn't such a...
Facebook makes Facebook
yeah,
nervous.
Facebook's like, damn, maybe I shouldn't have put happy murders.
You know what's funny is we couldn't boost this picture of me in blood on Facebook, but yet horror movies about way worse things than I'm talking about are action movies that have way more violence than I'm talking
about. Crazy.
They get boosted all the time, so it's like a weird thing. It's
You know what is a weird thing is sometimes... they block my alcohol company, which it's not even, and I'm not even doing anything about it. Like,
right, just because you mentioned alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, they won't let me do something. Like, really? There's nothing on there.
But somebody can post something about being drunk or whatever. It's all these weird rules. I feel like most of the, oh man, why are they being so annoying about this?
Yeah.
99% of the time, it comes back to nervous about litigation.
Well, no, and you know what? Somebody already sued them for it. You can't tell me that they're not getting 5,000 lawsuits a day.
Exactly.
Like, that's the problem. People are crazy about trying to make money by not working. What is up with that?
Yep.
Just go to work.
That's the kind of stuff that makes me murderous.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like frivolous litigation. You know, somebody's busting their ass. They're working hard to, you know, like you're an entrepreneur. You know,
right.
You have to grind. You have to work really hard to make your own thing. And then somebody else just wants an easy paycheck and then just ruin somebody's lives.
Nonstop.
I feel like with that litigation stuff, if you sue for something stupid, if you take that to court, it should be like, okay, we're gonna let you go through with it, but if it doesn't, if you don't win, then you have to pay them you're trying to get.
There is some.
There's
some lawsuits.
Oh, you
like
know
that.
What? I did read an article about something about like that where it's just starting, where some people are getting in trouble for suing for the wrong things. Finally,
yeah, there is some situations where it actually works like that. But in other situations, like you get these Morgan & Morgan guys, right? They find this little niche-y little thing, and they'll drop so much media attention about it that everybody comes out of the woodwork that has happened to somehow.
Right, class action.
Yeah. Miraculously. But yet, the key is like, if they find one of those people,
right,
then literally they do have a lawsuit, and you can go after like five times, you know, what it's worth.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So they just, like...
There's
focus
a weird,
on that.
There's a weird thing with some of these companies. It's like, okay, like the Boeing thing right now. They're talking about like these planes. They're like, how could they have let these planes go through? You know, how could they, you know, like when someone crashed? They didn't intentionally think like, these would probably crash.
Yeah, this plane's going down and taking my stock with it. Come on.
Whatever. No, they're trying their best. There's this weird thing with like certain medical malpractice where like people aren't allowed to make mistakes. And it's
right.
like... Dude, it's human nature.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, it's going to happen, but then what? Like, so they have to be perfect or they get sued to the point that they could lose their career. It's ridiculous. Like the standard certain professions are held to. It's like, yeah, there's no guarantee that you're going to be, I'm always trying to not swear right now, but I can't.
Yeah, I try not to swear.
I swear.
But I mean.
I'm fighting it.
Yeah.
But like there's.
And Gary Vee gets away with swearing. Speaking of Gary Vee, we talked about him. How does he get away with swearing so much on the freaking web?
I love that because I swear so much.
And yeah, but his content still gets out there.
And I love it, but yeah, exactly. I love what he represents that way because I watched a lot of his videos about people being like, oh, Gary, if you just didn't swear, you could reach this bigger audience.
I saw that whole show.
And he's like, yeah, but that's not me.
Right.
I'm not being authentic. And I've always felt that way too, where it's like.
But you know, he did break down and he started a whole nother thing where he doesn't swear.
Really?
Yeah, he started a whole nother YouTube page. And it's all clean now because he wants the corporate money, baby.
He's got enough money.
That's what he did, though. You did. I saw you because I got the email from you, brother, about his new corporate clean YouTube page.
That's funny.
Yeah.
See, I just have no interest. That's what I like about like new media, like the podcast, for example. Sometimes people would write in too and be like, dude, I would share this with my family more. I would like, this is great content for my kids. God. If you just didn't swear, I'm like, there's plenty of people that don't swear. Go find them. This is what I like to do. This is authentic to me, and it resonates with some people who don't mind more. And just for me personally, I just know that the kind of person who's going to be offended by an F-bomb isn't going to like me that much anyway.
Right.
So, fuck them.
Yeah, no, I get it. Two you know, things. Like, one, I want to know how much research you do for every episode. But yeah. Speaking of content that's not going to be shared, right?
Yeah.
I do it on Tuesdays, Ask the Doctor. Mm. And sometimes we get questions. I have this doctor, Dr. Dollar, who's an expert urologist, and we get questions. Some of the questions I love.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, you know what? If I talk about them on Facebook, nobody's going to share that because they don't want that on their page. Oh, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's sometimes it's men's well-being or sexual health or
people get up,
ED.
About it.
They love watching, but they don't want to share it to other people because they can't post that on their page.
Yeah.
So you do have to, like, kind of figure out what people are going to be able to accept on their page, right?
Right. You got to find your niche. Yeah, and sometimes your niche or your audience or your whatever is, like, it's just people who like outrageous things. I mean, there is that group, people who they almost want it to be more profane. I don't know. It's like,
by the way,
Gary Vee, speaking of that, sorry, like, he just is like, just, we were just talking about this, like, I like his whole message of don't overthink it.
Correct.
Just do.
Yeah.
That's what I got to work on all the time.
What you're doing every day is not the same thing as what somebody else is doing.
Right.
So you start posting your day, it's interesting to people.
Right.
Like, who wants to watch, who thought that watching people open up gifts was a great thing.
True,
or play video games. As a kid, I hated waiting to play a game.
Me too.
I'm like, damn it, let me play.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch you play a game.
Yep.
Now, it's a freaking thing.
My son, on the PS4, he's more interested in the replay of what he's just done than him doing it.
Right.
So, like, he'll play a game mostly to watch the highlights of the game he's just played. Like, he wants to even, like, I'm like, you just did that. Like,
that's
but it's different now. It's like, I think about that too. My wife and I were, to me, like, my life is just my life. I've had to get this out of my head. I'm like, who wants to see this? But then I remember that, like, okay, if you're working, like, I have a little office that I made myself of my podcast with, like, weird
Speaking of
things
which,
on the walls,
Dan Cummins is our guest, and his podcast blew up. Give him all your information so that way I don't screw it up.
Oh,
tell them how they can find you, because they do follow you and they're going to watch your podcast.
Oh, please.
It gets like a million views a freaking episode. You're crazy.
It's TimeSuck is, you can get the app, the TimeSuck app, which is TimeSuck, but it's also, you know, Spotify, all the regular places.
Yeah, Stitcher, iTunes, you can find it, download the podcast. Dan Cummins in Naples, going to be at Off the Hook Comedy Club tonight, one show only. And you call this the Happy Murder Tour.
Happy Murder Tour.
Why?
Just because it's, you know, I speak a lot about...
You're not murdering anyone,
fantasy,
right?
Not murdering anyone.
Just not fine. Tonight?
Not tonight. Okay. Violent fantasies about people who are just rude, basically. I have a temper, I guess, towards people who are just not polite.
And you and hecklers...
Selfish, narcissists. Just,
Yeah. Hecklers aren't going to stand a chance.
No, I don't have, luckily, a problem too much with hecklers.
Right. That's because you're funny. I find people that aren't funny have more hecklers.
That's funny, true. People lose interest.
Yeah.
People lose
interest. Yeah, they think that they need to spice up the show.
That's true.
You're sitting there, awkward silence, this with five people at the table that you brought to the show.
Yes.
You might be more tempted to say something because the guy on stage isn't entertaining you.
I know. That is the best thing to not have too many hecklers, just to keep the show entertaining and funny. Because it's one thing if, like, if someone's yelling out or disruption when you're doing really well.
Right.
Like, with an audience, then it's really easy to be like, dude, what are you doing? Put the spotlight on them. And they're like, well, you're not funny. And it's like, dude, were you not hearing the laughs? It's like, you're just too dumb to understand what's happening. Like, you're the problem.
Absolutely.
Very different than if it's a dead, quiet room, and then someone's like, you're not funny. Because I've been in the back of rooms watching other comics. And when that happens, and my thought is, yeah, they're right.
Yeah.
They are right. You know?
And it's like, as a club owner, it's like sickening. I'm like, damn it, dude, make somebody laugh, or
you know,
female, whatever, whoever's on stage. It's like, as a club owner, you're cringing, like, oh my god, why is I not hearing, like, just roars of laughter? Didn't they hear the last guy on stage, like, just crush?
Dude, I watched hecklers, this is years ago, in a really kind of rough bar gig in Lewiston, Idaho. It's like, I came up doing these kind of rougher small town gigs, and I've never heard, I don't even remember this guy's name. I never heard of him after this. I think I saw the moment his comedy career died. Like, the exact moment. It was.
I will tell you a funny comedy.
Oh.
You'd think the Korea would have died, but now it's now one of the biggest ever.
This guy, I watched him. He was opening up for me. He was like supposed to a half an hour. He had had a really tough set the night before, like half an hour of no laughs. He was doing props. He had this like little thing of props. And I saw him like 7 minutes of no laughs. He just like looks so defeated. The crowd is not with him. People are yelling stuff. And he just like on stage, just like does this. And he slowly puts his props back in his little suitcase.
And he called it a day.
Looks around, doesn't even say anything. Just looks around, grabs and just walks off of the stage.
No way.
Walks out of the room, never to be seen again.
That's it.
He was done.
He was like, this is not my thing anymore.
Nope, just out.
Instead of quitting a job, he quit life. He quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just bailed, dude.
He quit his company. Just like,
oh my God.
Oh, it was so.
But the thing is like, if you walk out of the office, that's what you do, right? You're like, hey, boss, it's not for me anymore.
Right, right. I love that he did it mid-show.
You're on stage. You just gotta go.
It was great.
This is my job. Ah. Sorry. I'm not going to do it while I'm doing press. I'm not going to do it while I'm in my hotel room getting ready for a show.
Mid-show.
While I'm on stage, I'm out. I'm letting everybody know.
Don't like it.
This is my last shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was good to witness.
Yeah.
You know? And to be, and this guy, he was a nice guy on stage, but comedy probably wasn't for him. So in my mind,
you
I was
mean
like,
because people weren't laughing.
And it wasn't funny. It was really bad. It was really, really bad.
If you're doing a comedy show and people aren't laughing, comedy's not your thing.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm amazed by too. Is like when you start off in a scene, when you get open mic or whatever, but you get guys. It's one thing if you get some guy who's struggling to find his voice. You can tell he's funny. He's finding out how to translate it on stage, and it takes time. Or you're working on new material and it's not hidden. But then there's the other guy who
Oh my God, I know what you're gonna say.
And they're not doing well, and then you come back like 5 years later, and it's the same jokes.
Oh no,
still not doing well.
I have one better. What happens when they don't do well and they get off stage and they're like, I crushed.
I crushed.
I killed it.
Rabbit ears.
I'm like, what did you
we
crush?
We call that rabbit ears.
Oh my God. Like, I don't understand. Wait, me and you just watched the same show.
Right.
How did I miss all the crushing?
Dude.
And I'm baffled. But it happens often.
Yeah.
Especially with comics coming up. And it's like, wait.
How are you going to get good if you don't know
you
what good?
You think you crushed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me, sit on this chair right here where I just sat and listen to this guy go up and watch every single person in the audience fall off their chair.
Right.
Laughing.
And you know what? And those guys who are doing those kind of shows, 9 times out of 10, they're not as happy when they come off stage. They think about the joke.
They're like, dude, I could have hit it so hard. Like, I missed.
Yep.
I should have said this right there. Right?
Because that's the kind of mind you have to do well. It's like, the guys who are usually killing aren't coming off stage going like, man, I'm the best.
How did you get into it? How did you get into comedy? Like, you just told yourself you wanted to be a comedian?
You know, I wish it was some story of like, I'd wanted to do it for years and everything. I graduated with a degree in psychology from Gonzaga.
Same
years
here.
Ago. Went into
psychology and criminal justice.
Oh, okay.
I could be like a freaking
profiler.
Yeah, like on your show.
Yeah, man.
You need to get me on, dude. Here
Mine
I go.
Hunter.
I'm right here. I'm interviewing right now.
Mindhunter.
Put me on the list.
And I wanted to go into social work. I did go into social work initially, and then I didn't like it. It was fun to study, but I just wasn't wired right to do it for a job. And then I was just like, am I going to go back to school? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And my ex-wife was like, I'd done comedic theater in college. And she's like, well, that was fun. That was funny. People liked you. Why don't you try it? And it was totally her
suggestion.
Wait,
you were already out of college and everything? Mm-hmm. And you just thought like...
Just on a whim. Just went and just
Do you have a good relationship with the ex?
Yeah, we do actually. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could thank her now for
making... Thanks.
Yeah, for
thanks
all this
for
money.
Getting me started.
Yeah. Thanks for making him famous. We love you.
But yeah, she just thought like I should give it a go and then did. And then it was always like, okay, this is fun. We'll see how long this lasts. And then as I got into it, I got more and more, just kind of fell in love with it after I started doing it.
Yeah.
But I was never a guy who watched that much stand-up or to this day, I
don't never
watch
was
that
either.
Much. Yeah.
I opened up a comedy club and I couldn't name two comics. I knew like Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor.
Okay.
And that was it. People were like, oh, you're going to open up comics? You must love comedy. I'm like, I love money.
Yeah,
but
honesty,
I learned
yeah.
to like comedy a yep. lot better. Yep. Like now I love it.
Right? I just love the creative freedom because I was in a little like band in college and we weren't great.
Did you have stage fright?
No. I.
Oh, you were a musician a little bit, so you had already been on stage.
Yeah, so I like
that's
parties.
Different. That's different,
I
right? Because you've already been on. You've been like a rock star.
Well, for like in our little campus, we had fun at like parties,
yep.
kegers and stuff. And I loved it. Like, we did our own songs, you know, rehearsing was fun. It was such a, and then when we graduated.
What did you play?
I played, like, initially.
Say the guitar.
But it was a guitar.
This guy, he's freaking funny. He's handsome. He plays the guitar. Like, seriously, dude. Come on.
And then when we graduated, everybody else went to their regular jobs. And I was like, oh, but I thought we were going to do this more. And it just bummed me out that nobody wanted to pursue it further. Yeah. And what I liked about stand-up is nobody gets to take it away from you. Right. It's just you, and you live or die on your stuff.
Yep.
And that's what I love. It's like the camaraderie of a band was great. But, you know, one person can leave, and then you're screwed.
It's a solo act now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just bringing the heat yourself.
And it sucks when you eat it, because then it's like you stew in your own failure and you have no one to share
it
with.
Yeah, but you're not eating it these days anymore.
But for a long time, I won't
mention any names, but this dude is selling out theaters on a daily basis. He literally bombed so bad that I went from headlining. Okay, let's just rewind.
Okay.
Only 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And today he's selling 2,000 seats a night. Across the country.
I gotta, after the
on fire.
After the video, I gotta find out who this dude is.
Okay. He bombed so bad, I moved him from headline to feature to he barely finished the weekend to.
That's rough.
He may be quitting comedy. Fast forward today, superstar in the industry.
Did he tweak his act, obviously? Or no?
He just was having a bad week, man. I don't know what it was. Everything just came crashing down. Yeah. Nothing worked. Today, I mean, superstar in the industry. Huge.
Wow.
How crazy.
That is crazy.
It's a great turnaround.
It is
crazy.
So
you never know, like, you never know, one, what someone's going through, point of the story. Two, like, just because they were not funny at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I was told how funny this one headliner was.
Yeah, yeah.
And who was so unfunny that weekend that it did not work out.
That is a rough thing, man, when someone's going through personal stuff.
Yeah.
I know years ago, I was opening up for a buddy of mine who took me on the road, who was just started going through a divorce, but blindsided him.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He was super down that week. And
it's like dance puppet. You got to make people laugh. Oh, yeah. Just what I want to do.
I know. It's tough. It's weird. It's weird for me. It's like the stage is such an escape for me where I remember, like, my ex, like, same thing. Like, it surprised me. She told me she was going. And then she told me, like, 2 hours before a show.
That she was bailing.
She was, yeah, bailing. Yeah. We had, like, kids. It was, like, my worst nightmare.
Mine just said, don't come back, literally. And I didn't go back. Nothing.
Wow.
Just, like, this isn't going to work out. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to work. And then don't come back in tonight.
Wow.
Next night, don't come back in tonight. 8 weeks of that, I didn't go back.
Wow, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
It's crazy.
So that was, for me, blindsided too.
Yeah, and for me, work was my escape. It was like, I was sad, you know, regular life, but then my shows actually were fine because I'm like, well, at least this is 1 hour. Where, I mean, I guess it would have been different if my whole act would have been how happy we were being married. Yeah. That would have sucked. But my act was about like weird, absurd stuff, you know, that didn't have anything to do with her.
Is that like a fat guy that gets skinny, he doesn't have any more jokes?
Right.
That would have been the same. You'd been screwed.
Yes.
Not funny, but you bailed. You missed it. You did it. You dodged the bullet. Now you're more famous.
I can talk about my own weird stuff. That's funny. And it was great.
The only thing I can relate to that is, like, if you're having a bad day and you have to get on stage and still do great comedies. I was actually a fishing captain. I'm really captain.
Okay, I wondered about that.
And I had to take people fishing for a living. And I did that. I was on the boat straight for like 7 years, from 98 to, like, I don't know, 2005 or whatever. Every day I took people fishing. Nobody goes fishing pissed off. Like, it's like going to a comedy show. They're not there to not have a good time.
Right.
So people go fishing, they want to always, like, oh, it's a great weather. I'm from freaking North Dakota. It's the middle of February. And
you
got to
match that.
So you got to go and, like, act like you're not having a bad day, even though it's, like, it's in their mind gorgeous, but it's like 50 degrees, the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour, and you know you're not going to catch very many fish.
Right.
You have to convince them and yourself, hey, we're going to do this today. Let's go make it happen. Same thing as you getting on stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I never thought of that with the fishing guy, but absolutely. It's like, you got
to
be up.
That's a weird analogy, but you have to be a fisherman to figure that out.
Right. Yeah, it works. It works.
All right, guys.
Well, I'm going to be up. I'm going to be up. I am having fun.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
Maybe we'll go fishing. You don't have any time. You're here for one night. You give me one night. It's like a one-night stand. Guys, Off the Hook Comedy Club, Dan Cummins. Don't miss Happy Murder Tour.
Happy Murder
I'm
Tour.
So excited to see it tonight. Offthehookcomedy.com for tickets. And I appreciate it, man. I can't wait I'm going to start following every one of your tweets, everything on Instagram. How can they find you on Instagram?
Dan Cummins Comedy on Instagram.
Don't miss it, guys. We're out. Later.